Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules, as long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people. This podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And today is Things I Love, Things I Hate Day. So today I'm going to talk about a content creator who has made something I think is just really nifty and has some interesting business facets that I'm going to point out for you. And I'm going to try to unpack some of the elements I think make it work so well. And then I'm going to be talking about how to do it wrong in a way that I see all the time and that makes me feel bad because it's just not going to get you the results that you want to get. But we're going to start with the love for nerdy nummies. So if you have kids, you might know what this is. This is a YouTube cooking channel featuring Rosanna Pansino. It's a cooking show that teaches you how to make snacks and treats on different nerdy themes. And as always, of course, I will give you a link in the show notes. You can just find those at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. So let's say you want to make a Minecraft birthday cake for somebody, or you want to make emoji waffles or Pac-Man popsicles. Ro is the one who will show you how to do that. My son and I just watched an episode where she made a Star Trek Voyager cake with guest Neil deGrasse Tyson, who happened to be wearing an Occupy Mars t-shirt. I mean, if you're me, honestly, it does not get much more epic than that. I have, by the way, written about Neil deGrasse Tyson before as an epic content marketer of ideas. I wrote about him on Copyblogger, and again, I'll give you a link in the show notes because I think he's, of course, he's, you know, very smart, but he's also very savvy, and he puts things together in a way I find really interesting. Okay, so why is Nerdy Nummies so awesome? First, I think this is a tremendously fantastic idea for a content channel. So it's a cooking show, so we're starting with something we know people like to watch. Actually, any kind of tutorial content tends to do well on video and on YouTube. People like to see how to do things, and so it's a good solid foundation to start on. But then we've got that niche twist. So we have that nerdy theme, and that can be taken so many different places. Now, this particular niche happens to be part of a community. So if you think about businesses like ThinkGeek or Redbubble, which makes t-shirts, there's this self-identified community that likes to buy things related to that community. It forms, you know, an ecosystem. So it forms an ecosystem for giant products like movies, but also for, you know, really small projects like t-shirts or, you know, USB hubs, all kinds of big things and little things alike. Now that leads into the second thing that I think works particularly well with this content channel, because when you have this kind of tribe-based content, Ro Pansino is clearly a member of the tribe that she's speaking to. You know, she is a nerdy person. She has good nerd cred. When she's showing the audience how to make little pies for Pi Day, she has that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of insider cred that really lets the audience think this person is a lot like me. So we talk about authority, about this concept of authority a lot over on Copyblogger. We actually named our whole content marketing community for it because it's such a key concept when you're talking about creating content. You know, you need to make yourself that one who stands up and says, I'm going to teach you something that you want to know about. And one of the great things about this topic is it really illustrates that this is not necessarily something about, you know, making a living or, you know, a serious, quote unquote, serious topic. This is just a fun and silly topic, but it works really well. What makes it work is the audience wants to know about it, not, you know, some other criterion. And a lot of times people think of that word authority and they're envisioning something that's stiff or something that is stuffy, when in fact, typically it's actually the opposite. The strongest authority comes from somebody who looks like you, who likes the things that you like, who shares your values, but they know how to do something you don't know how to do yet. And this is the, you know, the insight that people miss when they say silly things like millennials don't value authority. You know, of course they value authority. They still have Homo sapiens brain and all those years of evolution have not just suddenly reversed themselves in the last 10 years. But their version of authority does look a little different. So to make it kind of meta, because we like to be very meta at Copyblogger, if you think about this podcast and this section, this segment that I'm doing right now, things I like, things I hate, that's a very, you know, kind of bald expression of it. It's very overt expression of it. But think about that concept for your audience and for your content. You don't have to call it something that overt. But the more that you write or create content around what you really think is great and then what you're not such a big fan of, the closer that you bring people to you and the right people who are going to want to go further with your project, your business, what have you. So this kind of content is intrinsically memorable. To use Seth Godin's favorite word, it's remarkable, right? It creates conversations just like the conversation that I just had with you about that Star Trek Voyager cake and Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay, moving on to some other thoughts on what she is doing well. She has about 6 million subscribers. She's probably doing quite nicely with advertising. The big subscriber YouTubers can do pretty well with it. But she's also doing other things to generate revenue. So this kind of tutorial content in particular lends itself to affiliate links, to tools, to products, and she includes lots of them. You know, she's going to use a particular kind of a melting candy to make a decoration with. She gives you an Amazon affiliate link for it. She also has a cookbook out, which I think is kind of a cool thing, like a physical book that you can pick up in a bookstore and look at. Now, a physical book is not normally a giant revenue maker, but it does tend to open interesting doors. And I think that she's probably seeing some very interesting doors opening up now. So there is this whole new kind of profession, the professional YouTuber. And looking at the way a lot of them do things, you would think that ads were the only way they could quote unquote monetize. And actually, as soon as you use that word monetize, you're starting to go in the wrong direction. You're thinking, here's some content, now how can I stick something on top of it that makes money? If you think about business models rather than monetization, a lot of times more interesting opportunities and more profitable opportunities will show up. So selling ads right now, especially on the web, is a very tough way to make a living unless you have, you know, 6 million subscribers. It's always worthwhile to look for a different way that you could add value that's going to give you a bigger payout. Now, for tutorial content like this, communities and courses are brilliant. So you have free tutorial content that everybody can access, and then you have a private course. And if you want to know more about how to put something like that together, Brian Clark actually put an entire course on creating courses together for you over at digitalcommerce.com. When you're starting out with this kind of idea, think small, you know, so think about holding a workshop rather than thinking about, you know, creating a university course. But even if the teeniest, tiniest sliver of your audience goes for it, you're normally like 10,000 times ahead of the game over advertising, which is, you know, tiny, tiny pennies per click. So the fourth thing I think Ro Pansino does really nicely is she's taking this seriously. She does a good job. So her explanations are clear. Her videos are, you know, well lit. They're, I think she has a friend who's a film student or something along those lines. So everything looks good. it's very easy to understand what she's doing. The editing is there, so it's not just a lot of rambling nonsense. It's not thrown together. And in order to make that work, she only puts out one episode a week. Now, most of the professional YouTubers are putting out one to two or more videos a day to get them, you know, the views that get them, again, you know, the monetization. She's doing one a week, but all of her stuff is evergreen. So, you know, if I want to make a Minecraft block cake, I might want to do that next year or 2 years from now or 10 years from now. I'll always be able to go back and find that. And then the final thing that really, really makes the show work, without it, you know, none of the rest of this works, is that Pansino comes to the show with such a strong, well-defined personality. She is cute. She is nerdy. She's, you know, 20-something. She's very funny. She's very silly. And her viewers absolutely feel like they know her. Too much content, and especially how-to content, that has all the personality just strip-mined right out of it. It's really hard in the 21st century to make that work. Stop trying to be the Wikipedia of your topic. Which brings me to, drumroll please, the things I hate. Sad face. So the reason that I hate this is really just because I hate to see people waste time on content that's so unlikely to ever really get anywhere. So fairly regularly on the blog, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, I see somebody who says, I'm generating high quality content. They always use that phrase. And I'm not getting results. You know, content marketing doesn't work. I'm generating a lot of high quality content and I'm not getting results. And I click through and I see something that is right out of the content marketing paint by numbers manual. I think there must be some kind of, you know, alleged gurus who are teaching a particular way of doing this, and it just doesn't work. And every year it doesn't work even worse than it doesn't work this year. So if you have a site that meets this description and it is working, then that is good. And I'm glad that things are working in your life. But I would not assume that it's going to continue forever because the landscape is just annihilating this kind of site. So this is the kind I'm talking about. It starts with a keyword phrase. Usually there's a keyword phrase in the URL. It has dozens or hundreds of fairly generic looking posts about the keyword phrase. There is no writing voice or personality at all. There really aren't any distinct opinions. You know, there's no things I love and things I hate. There's no strong opinions of any kind that are remarkable in any way. The site design is always as generic as possible. And then almost inevitably, it is packed up with AdSense and runs ads for things that have absolutely nothing to do with the site topic. So it is just a generic content site with a bunch of, you know, prefabricated stuff on it. Now, the site creator might be working really hard. This is not about a lack of hard work. This is about a lack of a smart content strategy. This is about a lack of any kind of creativity, personal voice, connection with the audience, no values, no spark, no spice. Sometimes I call this cream of wheat content. It's just a big pile of bland, inoffensive mush. It's boring, and boring content will kill your results. You have to remember, you are not ever in this lifetime going to be able to beat Wikipedia at the boring but useful content game. They have it sewn up and they probably will forever. And if Wikipedia loses that spot someday, they're not going to be losing it to you. You can't be boring and win at content. You know, I'm not saying nobody can, I'm saying I can't and you can't. So high quality content is not just about content that is factual and useful. It has to be those things, right? It has to be truthful and it has to be useful, but it also has to be interesting. Now, in a very niche topic, you can sometimes get away with boring, but it's risky. There's no reason to take that risk. So Nerdy Nummies would probably kind of work just as a how-to show to teach people how to do something, you know, they want to do. But frankly, that's like endless numbers of courses on lynda.com and elsewhere. I mean, there's just no shortage of that. Why not get some interesting in there and protect yourself against that scrappy, energetic competitor who's thinking about your topic right now and is willing to bring all the personality and all the excitement to the game? Now, one of the cool things about being interesting and having personality in your content is that it always makes the pie bigger. So you might have one particular topic, but you could have easily 10 or 20 or 100 or 5,000 different personalities who talk about that topic in different ways, with different values, and just a different tone. And in competitive topics, you know, the things like certain financial topics or for sure health, fitness, that kind of thing, marketing. I increasingly think that differentiating yourself with voice and personality is a must-do, especially if you aren't already an authority, if you don't already have a big audience in the space. So I was thinking about this as I was prepping this podcast, and I looked back at a post that was written by Sugar Ray Hoffman. It's called How to Survive the Affiliate Evolution. And this post is almost 9 years old, and she called it then, and it is still exactly correct. And it's really about this. It's about moving away from that kind of generic, factual, keyword-rich site to something much more distinct, much more brandable, and something that views itself as a business and not as a niche keyword site. I'll get you a link in the show notes. And if you just Google Ray Hoffman, How to Survive the Affiliate Evolution, it'll also pop right up. And Ray herself, you know, her social media presence, the work that she writes, her products, her services, it's all really a brilliant example of bringing a very distinctive voice to her business. So she isn't like anybody else, and everything that she does really shows her personality, and it just works. Her site design, the whole thing. Also relevant to our interests on this one is the combination that Brian Clark pointed us to quite a number of years ago in the Copy Blogger blog, which is the combination of meaning and fascination. And that's just another way of saying it has to be useful and it has to be interesting. Because one without the other has a strong tendency to spin your wheels without ever getting you any traction. All right, that's today. I would love if you would think about what you might be able to take away. Do go check out Nerdy Nummies. It's fun. They're short. You know, watch a few minutes of it. You'll get the idea. It might be your cup of tea and it might not, but it's interesting to look at. But think about what could you take away from Rosanna Pansino about being more interesting, about creating something that is more genuinely memorable. Could you sharpen up your topic the way that she did so that you're really speaking within a defined ecosystem? And at the same time, you know, giving yourself lots of leeway to have lots of content ideas and not run out of ideas, you know, 8 pieces of content into the game. And most important, does your content have personality? Are you taking it seriously? Are you producing something that people are going to want to look at in a year or 3 years, especially if you're in a topic that is not inherently time-bound? Now, if you're doing technology reviews, then you don't need to be producing evergreen material, but most of us aren't. So if you do catch your show, I'd love to hear what you think about it. Drop me a comment or drop me a tweet at Sonia Simone. And as always, anytime you, if you're an iTunes consumer of this podcast, your star ratings and your reviews are super, super helpful. They help other people find the show and they mean a lot to me. And a big hug and a thank you for the many of you who have already left them. It's very appreciated. So that's today's mini rant. Go forth and be interesting, and I'll catch you next time.